Ephesians chapter 6. I just ripped a page of my Bible. You believe that? All right. It's all right. Here in about 20 years, it'll look like it's been used a lot. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. I probably preached this here before, and I'll probably preach it here again. And you're very familiar with this. If you've been a Christian any time at all, you're familiar with this part of the Bible. If you've been in church, you've heard preachers preach about this. I'll tell you where I got the idea starting with this message was me and Scott were riding down the road, and he started talking about his illustrious wrestling career. It was pretty cool. Not wrestling, wrestling. Never mind. There's a difference. Wrestling happens in a gymnasium in high school. Wrestling is like Ric Flair and... Never mind. God, y'all are tough, man. I'm telling you. You get it, right? But anyway, and I got to run a boys' home for about 3 years, and we had some wrestlers in our home. And I got to go and watch them practice and then actually perform in their meets. And I might not get all the terminology right, but it really... I went to a school that didn't offer that sport. And, you know, when you go to a school that doesn't offer that sport, you don't really know anything about it. But the first time I went with the boys, and one of the boys walked out there and began to wrestle, I was in. I was like, wow. Because you practice as a team, but you perform as an individual. It's kind of like church. We practice in here as a team. We're going to wrestle as individuals. And we get some victories, and they count towards our team. We get some losses, they might count towards our team. But ultimately, we're going to be right up there with our enemy, and the whole world seems like they're watching. Amen? Y'all like that analogy? Amen. And another thing that I like to see in this is, see, I joined the United States Marine Corps back in 1993. And I thought, man, one of the biggest reasons I joined, I hate to be so vain, but I seen the uniform and I compared all the other services and I was like, there's no way I'm wearing that. I wouldn't join the Navy for nothing. I love you guys in the Navy, but I ain't wearing no dungarees and no silly dog hat on my head. I ain't doing it. Can you say that? There's my friend. But I just couldn't see myself doing it. Couldn't see myself on a boat all the time. But anyway, I had an idea that I'm going to get, as soon as I show up first day, they're going to give me that uniform. They're going to just issue, man, I'm going to get that dress book. Whoop, bang, bang, ready to go. I failed to realize there's more to it than putting on that uniform. Amen? So let's get into the Word of God tonight, and hopefully it'll help you. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I hate to tell you this, but it's a put-on thing. You have the option either to put it on or not. God's not going to put it on you. Amen? You got to choose to put it on. Being saved is a relationship thing. Salvation is free. What you do with it is up to you and God. Amen? You've got to engage God. If you're saved and you don't engage God to put on the armor of God, then guess what happens? You start to look like, act like, talk like, and walk like the world, and nobody can tell you from the world. Nobody can identify you as a soldier or a child of the King. And I hate to tell you this, but you're going to run into wiles. I hate to tell you this, but it says the wiles of the devil. And I'm looking out at this crowd tonight, and I see the devil has many, many tricks. I mean, he doesn't mind. He'll work every avenue of your life. And I hate to tell you this, but he knows you almost as good as anybody else knows you. He knows everything you like, everything you hate, everything that makes you tick, everything that makes you that gets on your nerves, everything that makes you fear, everything. He knows all those things. So you got to know that he's going to use everything he has to come against you. But you're supposed to put on the armor where you can take a stand. Underline that word, stand. We're not a sitting army. Amen. We are not an army who sits Only on the premises of the house of God, we are to stand in battle. We are to stand up and fight against the enemy. Amen. I think Paul was so awesome with this because you know where he got the idea. He was constantly being under guard of Roman soldiers. So he had to sit there all the time and just look at them and go, wait a minute. I see what they got there. I see how they're operating. That's the same stuff God does for us. When we get saved, there's the same outfit this guy's got on. That's what we put on spiritually. I can see that. That's how preachers are. We look at stuff that are physical and we make a spiritual analogy to it. He's looking at me and said, I noticed one thing about them. Those Roman soldiers don't have a whole lot of equipment in the back. Amen? Why is that? Because we're not turning our back to the enemy. You know why I know military, a lot of stuff doesn't happen from the back? Because guess what? I hate to tell you this, but we're supposed to have each other's back. And even sometimes when you have to withdraw from something, you don't turn your back to it and withdraw. You back away from it with everything you have still in front of you. If I'm wrong, just say I'm wrong sometimes. But one of the worst things in wrestling was to give your back to somebody. You want to keep them in front of you. Even if it all goes wrong, you still want to keep that person in front of you. You don't want to have them at your back. Amen? The devil's going to do everything he can. Some of you know this better than any people in here. If you talk to them and you say, well, the devil's been really beyond me. When the devil really, really, really gets on you, you know it. He just don't get on your back, does he? He crawls around and gets right in your face. And I hate to tell you, that old joker's got some terrible breath. Yeah. Amen? He gets in front of you and he lies to you and manipulates things and gets things going. And the next thing you know, you don't know whether you're up or down. I've had this situation go on recently where all of a sudden he gets in your mind and next thing you know, you're thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking. And next thing you know, you're like, man, I've thought about this all day and I hadn't thought about anything that God's doing. You ever done that? Just let your mind turn and turn and turn. Listen to this, verse 12. For we wrestle not against the flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. This is why we talk about wrestling. And you know what I noticed about wrestling? It got me right away. I was watching them guys and kids walked out there and you know, they're walking out on the mat and you know, they're face to face with the guy. And for the next however long this match goes on, it is an entangled mess. It's humanity, right? I mean, armpits, elbows, knees. Hey, man, are y'all okay? Am I preaching right, Scott? Am I preaching? I mean, man, them guys, they want to... And you headlock, full Nelson. God, everything you can give them, right? And then you get on top of them, your face against their face, you're trying to get their shoulders pinned. And I mean, it is aggressive. That is exactly how the enemy works. This is exactly how the enemy works against us. The Bible says in John chapter 10, I think it's 10:10, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. And even as us sitting in this crowd, sometimes we think that the devil is somehow operating different in the next generation. And we approach spiritual warfare with our children and our grandchildren different than we've already experienced. I'll say it this way. Oh, it's okay. They're just going through a phase. No, here's what you need to do. You need to approach God boldly on their behalf and pray like crazy that they come to understand that they are in a spiritual battle and they need to rely on God. So many times we've gotten to a place where, oh, they're just going through something. They're going through something. It's called spiritual warfare, and the devil wants to destroy their life, and we need to pray that they don't, that God doesn't allow that to happen. Amen. Well, they're just acting a little bit different. It doesn't take me very long. I'm watching my son, and I'm looking, and I'm thinking, man, he probably ain't going. And then I remember myself at 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. I'm sitting there going, oh, my gosh. He's being bombarded every single day of his life by the enemy.
I need to be praying. I need to be influencing. I need to be exposing him to the truth. And I also need to tell him that he is not the only one in the fight. Hey, I've been right where you're at. And I know you're playing it off like it's no big deal. But I tell you, son, I know where you're at. And if you need anything, I'm here. But I'm praying for you. And I'm engaging him in spiritual conversation. He don't even know it. Amen? I start talking about the Bible stuff. He'll talk about something that he likes. Superman, Batman, X-Men, something. And I'll say, well, you know, God and this. And the next thing you know, he'll say, well, this, you know what I'm saying? But I want to engage him because I know he's wrestling. And the devil is going to be all over him. He's going to be all over us too. I don't want you to get this message tonight and you sit there and go, oh yeah, they need Jesus. No, we need him. Amen? Because before you know it, he'll have you in a full Nelson. Amen? He'll have you choked out. If you let your guard down and say, well, it's all about my kids or it's all about them. You know what? I've done got my experience. The devil will never wear me out again. Yeah, you'll be choked out before you know it. I want you to tell you this, and it's something you got to get your mind wrapped around right here. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. Man, I need to make that my life verse. I need to have that subscribed on my hand and forehead. Because sometimes we think we're going against people, ain't we? Man, they didn't do this. Those hypocrites, all them people down there. The Antichrist, the person over here, they're teaching false doctrine. This church is false teaching. No. We're fighting against the devil. We're fighting against spiritual principalities and high powers in high places. And sometimes he uses people. And you know what I know this sounds crazy. I know it sounds so thousand years ago. But what you have to do is you have to pray for them and preach the gospel unto them. And hopefully your worst enemies will get saved because they need the same salvation that you got. Amen. The person that you think is the worst, it would literally be the best on your team. I love when Paul got saved. Remember when he was Saul? And they were down there praying and God spoke to those voices. You need to go over there and lay hands on Brother Saul. He's blind. Lord, I don't know if you remember or not, but he's a killer. It might be a good thing that if he stays blind, right? It would be good if my worst enemy, the one who's killing and persecuting the church, this is Ananias, and I just want to say, I think that might be a great idea if we leave him blind. Golly, there's never mind. There's some people, you're like, oh, it wouldn't hurt my feelings, Lord, if you just, you know, shot a thunderbolt out. Amen? It wouldn't hurt me. I mean, I'd pray for them if it really singed them good. No, that's not how it works. The thing that works, the thing that's going to change them the most, if you can show them the love of Christ and minister the gospel unto them and them get saved, that is the thing that's going to change their lives. That's the thing that you're all of a sudden going to wake up and say, man, God, you changed everything, is when the person you despise or the person that you hurt you, the person that you have warfare going on with, if they get Christ Jesus, it's a win for you, it's a win for God, it's a win for them, it's a win for everybody except the devil. Praise God. So many times we fight the wrong way. I keep rolling back to that war room. That's the only one thing we do well. Me and my husband, we fight good. No, you do not. Y'all are fighting like the devil. You need to fight like the Lord would fight. When you feel like saying something, suppress that. Get in your prayer room and pray for them. You know how hard that is to do? Do you know how hard that is to do? I mean, man, sometimes I've got a quick wit. I said that to somebody today. I got a real quick wit. And that has cost me a lot. Amen? I mean, I can think of a comeback real quick, standing there and somebody say something, I'm like, and don't say that. Well, I'm 43. I've learned now. Last 3 years, I'm doing pretty good. Right? We're wrestling against principalities, wickedness, darkness, and high places. We're not wrestling against people.
That's what we're trying to rescue. Wherefore take, I love this, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. He says that twice, stand. It's important that we get up and do something. I said this before, write this down if you're a note taker. There is no reason to put the whole armor of God on and sit down. You know how dumb that would look? I'm saying, you got your whole armor on, you're just a big old warrior knight, and all of a sudden you sit down on the couch watching TV, and the devil's sitting there next to you going, what are y'all dressed up for? I'm a warrior. I'm a Christian warrior. You're sitting here watching TV doing nothing. You are not a warrior. Amen? You're everything but a warrior. You don't take a stand for anything. We're awful about watching our country fall apart right now, aren't we? And we said things, and I hear it said all the time, it's a lose-lose. We ain't got none good on this, none good on that. You know why? Because Christians, as a nation, we have not took a stand for anything. We're as bad as the news. We tell how bad it is, but we ain't got any good news to share. We got all the problems and none of the answers. I promise you this, I know what the problem is, and I know what the answer is. Amen. The problem's sin. And the answer is Jesus. You say, well, that ain't going to change nothing. 120 people changed the whole world. We're standing here because 120 people got the Holy Spirit of God in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, and they stepped out into the world and said, hey, we're going to do something. And it wasn't very long after that some people accused them of doing something. You know what it was? These people right here are trying to turn the world upside down. Golly, bum. Wouldn't that be awesome? For you, at the end of your life, be accused, if it was an epithet on your headstone, tried to turn the world upside down. Yeah. Tried to change everybody. Hallelujah. Wouldn't you like to hear that word out of God's mouth? Enter in, my good and faithful servant. I'm glad. Man, I do have some experience. I do have some. Shoulder pads who played in the game and somebody who didn't. I remember as a freshman, I stood on the sideline, and at the end of the game, my uniform was white. I thought, look at that line, pristine. My mom is going to be proud of me. Some boys would come in, and they'd stand on the sideline, and you couldn't even tell that we were wearing the same uniform. I was like, that's embarrassing. Amen? And they took off our helmet, and it had big old scars and ridges in it. I'm like, man, I won't be some of them. But I don't want to get hit that hard. Amen. I said, I'm going to get me some new scars on my hand. And I was like, man, I'm going to have one. I lost fresh. Who are you going to get some scars on our hand? And he'll sit here, we'll show you in practice how you're going to get your scars on your hand. We're going to run all over you for a whole week long. Amen. You've got to get engaged. You're going to get some scars. You're going to get me. But you know what? It will show if you get involved in the fight. You'll have some stuff show up. Amen? God, it's stand. Verse 14, it says it again. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness. Stand therefore, having your loins girt with truth. You know what? You know what holds the whole armor piece together? The breastplate, the helmet, the sword, everything. You know what holds it all together? Truth. Truth. You got to tell the truth. You got to tell the truth to people. No matter if it helps them or hurts them, whether they like it or not, you got to share the truth. You know what I like about the truth? I'm being honest. You know what I love about the truth? You never have to remember what you said. If you just tell the truth, I mean, you don't have to sit there and go, well, I think I said, or I thought I said, or I think, well, the story, and have to add another card to the house of card of lies. Because when you start telling one lie, guess what you got to do to another one? Another lie. When you go, oh, well, that didn't make any sense, so I better add another into it, and all the crazy details that come with it. But I love it that this says it's the loins are girt with the truth. It's reproductive. You tell one truth after another truth after another truth. Now get a hold of this. Once you start telling the truth, people know you as a truth teller. Even your worst enemy will say this, stuff like this. You need to go ask them, because whether you like it or not, they will tell you the truth.
I don't like him. I don't like her. I don't believe in what they believe. But if you ask them a question, they will tell you the truth. And you know as well as I do. And I'm gonna preach right here to you for a minute. What's the worst thing you can have done to you? Man, I hate when somebody lies to me. Amen. Have you ever caught somebody in your family or somebody your friends in a lie? It's hard to trust them after that, ain't it? Then you just have to verify everything. Did you go down there? Yeah. Well, I don't know if I did. Did you pay that? No, I guess probably didn't do it. Amen? So that's what we hate. We hate it worse than anything when somebody lies to us, because then you can't trust them with anything. You can't believe anything. And you wouldn't ever say, you can put everything on them. If you'll tell the truth, even if it's painful for you, amen? Even if it's painful for you. Even if you have to sit there and go, yeah, I did that wrong. Yeah, I didn't do that right. Yeah, I made a mistake right there. The people that you're around will know that you're a truth teller. And then you know what? That reproduces truth and more truth and more truth. You know what one of the greatest qualifications for being a pastor and one of the greatest qualifications for being a deacon is? You want to hear it? Having a good report of those that are without. Amen? Without what? Without Christ Jesus. That's one of my biggest things. I love Christians. I love believers. But let me tell you something. If lost people know you're a Christian and they'll vouch for you, then you've really done something. I mean, you've really done something. If somebody else, if a lost person will say, man, that old boy right there, he lives for God, and I really don't agree with him. They might even curse, might say some weird stuff, but then at the end of it say, yeah, but he's the real deal. She's the real deal. Amen? I don't know what, hey, you can't say no. Hey, that right there will tell you the truth. That one will tell you the gospel. That one's the real deal. Listen, that's more important. I think Terry said this morning, that's worth everything. Salvation and being able to tell the truth, it don't matter if the whole world's against you, if people can see Christ in your life. Amen. It wouldn't matter if the whole world's against you. Because you know what? If you start living like that, there's going to be people walk out of the darkness of this world to see you. They will. I've lived that. I worked in a factory for a long time. And you know what? When I started living for Christ, even when other people hated me for it, when they all talked about me, I had full-grown men stop me in some very strange places and be like, hey, brother, I really need to talk to you. Hell, give me what? About Jesus. And I need you to pray for me and my wife. Amen? I remember a day I used to go out every day for lunch because My work environment was so bad, I would go out at lunch every day for almost a year, and I laid across this table and prayed for God to move in an amazing way and get me out of this workplace, because I thought, man, Lord, you made a mistake and put me here. And I remember finally there was another man that come on to work with me, and he would go out there and pray with me and read the Bible. And I said, Lord, this is a mistake. I am here by a mistake, but Lord, do something. I trust you and I love you. And I got a brother finally who's here with me. And next thing you know, there's an old boy named Bobby Myolan walks up and stops right beside the table. And I look up and I said, I know this looks weird. He goes, no, it don't. He goes, my son is out of control. My family's out of control. And I've been watching you. The stuff you've been putting up with at this work, I don't think I could ever handle it. He said, but I've watched y'all. And y'all come out here and pray and read your Bibles. He said, I need two men like you to pray for me. And I was sitting there, man, I was blown away. And I'd almost forgot that I worked in the worst place in the world. I went back to that job, was like, woohoo, hallelujah, thank you God for putting me here. 10 minutes later, I was like, what are you doing? Amen. You forget, but I'm telling you, that's some stuff that I still remember. People are looking for the real deal. They're looking for it everywhere. And not stuff you turn on and turn off, because if you turn it on and turn it off, they'll see that too. And they'll tell you, that person over there, they talk about it, they act like it, but they're not real. That person right over there, they're for real. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, verse 14, and having the breastplate of righteousness. Man, having the breastplate of righteousness. That means you're going to have to do the right thing, and you're going to have to do it up front. I noticed that in the Marine Corps, they give us our camouflage uniform, and I love them, and I was so excited. And they give you two patches. On one side, they put your name, and on right above your heart, on this side, they put the United States Marine Corps on there, or whatever service you stand in. And I cared more about this one over here than I did over here. I didn't want to ruin my name. I can tell you that. I've done that. But I didn't want to put this one in jeopardy. That was my country. It baffled me all the time. I'd look down and I'd see U.S. Marine Corps. I couldn't believe it. Sometimes I was just like, man, I can't believe I actually made it. I'm doing this. This is awesome. I took it as an honor. But I remember years later when I got saved and I was living, I had a Marine Corps t-shirt on. Some guy said, was you as a Marine? I said, I was. And I, you know, as a Marine, you're always a Marine. You're in the military, you're always in the military in your mind. And you are, you know, as far as your service. But I said, yeah, but you know what, friend? I'm proud of being a Marine, but I'll tell you one thing. I got saved, and I'm in a different kind of army now. And I got a new name across my chest, and it's called Jesus Christ. Amen. And as much as I honored my family name and as much as I honored my country's name, there's another name I'm going for. Amen. And I don't want to run it in the ground at all. Amen? So you're going to be a child. If you're going to name the name of Jesus, do it right. Do it in righteousness. Try to live a righteous life. I know that's not proper preaching or teaching anymore. Oh, we can just live any way we want to. No, just live as close as you can to God, and God will be as close as you can to you. It says something like this: if you draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. If you make an attempt to get close to God, He'll make every attempt to get close to you, and you can live good that way. Amen? I love this. 15, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Everywhere you go, and you're going there with a purpose. If you really truly believe that you're a child of God and you're His armor, and you put on the whole armor, every time you lace your shoes up, you got to realize, I'm going somewhere on purpose. Everywhere I go, I'm going to have influence for the gospel, one way or the other. Amen? You know, everywhere you stand is holy ground. Everywhere you go, everybody that's in your reach, you know what? You can influence them for Christ. People waiting on it. That's why God told you to go. I take this very seriously. When somebody says, hey, will you go here? I remember people asking me, when I didn't even know, will you go down to the hospital and see so-and-so? And I mean, I was like, yeah, I guess. I don't know them. I don't even know you, really. But man, when I walked in that room, I was like, man, I know God sent me down here. I know He did. Because there's no reason He would have called me. No reason He had sent me. Had no reason I'd be standing in the hospital now. I must be here for a reason. And I would tell them, God sent me down here. And they're like, really? Yes. You got to believe that. And while you're there, you better show it. What? What do you mean show it? Show the gospel. Share it with them. From your experience. These wildest don't know enough scripture. Share what happened to you. You don't have to know everything in the Bible. If you have to know everything in the Bible, we're all disqualified. Just tell them what happened to you. I was lost, sinner, just like you. I didn't want to serve God just like you. But guess what? God got in my heart. That's why I'm here. I care about you. I love this part. Above all, taking the shield of faith where you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. This is true. Amen? Faith is the substance of things not seen but hoped for. I mean, you're sitting there going, I just believe it. You ever heard people say, well, you're just believing God for everything. Amen? Sometimes you got to lift your shield of faith despite of what you see, despite of what you feel. And you know what you got to do? You got to knock down fiery darts that the enemy's going to fire at you. And you're going to be sitting there going, man, and some of them, you're going to see them coming and block them, and you're still going to give thought to them. You're no good. You're going under. It's a waste of time. Amen? Here's a fiery dart. God gets me. Not God gets me with. The devil gets me a lot. You hear it? Here it is. I go into prayer. Pray for somebody. Pray for somebody. Pray for somebody. Something happens. I don't feel like God's answering my prayer. I don't think He's heard me. And guess what? The devil comes by. Well, that's a waste of time. Oh, man. I've got to lift my shield up and get behind it and say, you are alive. And the Father of all lies. Amen. Because I know God's heard my prayer. And He's either saying yes Do y'all remember Job? Job was going through a real tough time, wasn't he? Three of his friends came by. And man, they listened for a while. They just sat there and you thought they was doing great. And all of one of them said, wait a minute. I need to say something. Fiery dart. He was a friend. He was shooting. Amen. Sometimes you gotta lift your shield at people that you consider a friend or somebody you love, because they're gonna say something that's contrary to your faith. Amen. This ain't gonna happen. You're in. Whoa. I'm not fighting against you. I know I'm wrestling against principalities and higher powers. I understand that you're not. I'm not against you, but maybe the enemy's using you right now. You get what I'm saying? It happens. And I hate to tell you this, I've probably been on the other end of that some. Well, I just don't know what's going on. That person's over there praying in faith. Kevin, you need to get out of here. Oh, we can be real honest until we talk about ourselves, right? Taking the shield of faith. Oh, I love this, 17. And take the helmet of salvation. Let's stop right there, the helmet of salvation. I always wonder, man, it took me forever to figure this out. God, why do you call that the helmet of salvation and not the breastplate of salvation? Because our heart, we get saved in our heart. He's not talking about this heart when you were talking about getting saved. He's talking about this person. Amen? Your conscience, where you think. Let's say it this way. The person you talk to the most. You know who that person is, right? You. Amen? What he says is you got to protect. When I was in the Marine Corps, one thing you got to protect this. They used to call it a grape. When you're in the Marine Corps, they said, protect your grape. Amen? It was a good terminology because the easiest way to die on a battlefield is get hit in the noggin. Amen? You're pretty much out of control after that. Amen? So you put your helmet on. You'd get so much trouble if you took your helmet off. Take that helmet off. You'd be sweating buckets out of it, right? Chin strap, you do the whole John Wayne thing where your chin strap's just flying around. No. You buckle that up. Amen? Okay, you good? You can tell I got a little resentment still built up of that. But I want you to see this. Your helmet of salvation, and you need to write this down. Your thoughts. You need to hold your thoughts captive. You need to run them through the filter of being saved. You need to let them disseminate. I mean, just go through. But you run it through it before you let it come out of your mouth. Because if you let it come out of mouth, it's too late. Amen? You've done spoke it. Sometimes when we speak, sometimes we let the enemy know exactly where we're at. And he can't read your heart and he can't discern your heart. But he can tell it when you say it. Amen? Helmet of salvation. Now, I said all this and I'm sitting here looking at this word. And I started thinking about the wrestling. Wrestling is awesome. You know why? It's very technical. You know, when I first seen wrestling, I just thought you just go out there and just grab each other. But there's leverage involved, right? Leverage, and there's techniques, right? There's techniques to it. If he does this, you do that. If you do this, he does that. You got a counter to everything they do, right? Well, guess what? You got all these pieces of armor to counter how the enemy is going to operate on you. When he does something, you've got to know that that's why I've got this part of the armor. I got to lift my shield. I've got a helmet on my head to protect my thoughts and my mind. I can't let everything come into my mind. All right? So I'm going to protect myself of what comes in, but I'm also going to put some stuff in, and that's going to be my offensive move, is my Word of God, which is going to be my sword, amen? And another offensive weapon I'm going to use against my enemy is going to be my prayer. Amen. So I'm going to counter him. I'm not going to let him into my mind, but I'm also going to put some things in my mind that I can counter those things if he does. Amen. Glory. I have found this so much to be true, that most Christians have never read the Bible all the way through. And you know what they will tell you? I don't have the time. Whew. Man, I hope God don't have to register to Facebook. Oh, did I say that out loud? I hope he don't show you that if you read 3 chapters a day from January to December 25, that you'd be done with the Bible. Wouldn't you hate to stand there before your girlfriend one day, or your fiance, or your wife, and she said, I wrote you a letter, and you went, really, I ain't had time to get to read that thing yet. I mean, I read some of the stuff that I like, but I didn't read the other stuff. Wow. Amen? Even better yet, I had somebody else tell me about it. You can't do that, right, Scott? You can't do that. You can't say, well, I'll let my buddy read it. He told me this is what it said. Huh? Donnie, that's going to be good, ain't it? Did you read that letter of mine? No, I'll let Chuck read it. And Chuck told me the highlights, and I believe it says this because Chuck says it says it. Oh, man. Program. Put it in. It's a counter move. It's the only offensive weapon you have. It's the Word of God. Only that and prayer. But guess what? And it's crazy. Because this offensive weapon you have, you don't get to use it on nobody but the devil and yourself. Man. And it cuts. That's the sharpest sword I've ever had. Amen? It cuts me to pieces. Somebody told me one time, you need to read Proverbs every year. There's one for every month. Right? There's one for every day of the month. Proverbs. Boy, that'd be awesome. When I was a young Christian, I was like, oh, I can't. One for every day of the month. There's 31. That's the sorriest month I ever had in my life. I'm serious. That hurt. Number one hurt. First day, I'm hurt. Second day, that cut me. Third day, ouch. Right? The Proverbs are something you can just skip over them bad boys. But you know what? Everything you do, it's in there. Everything you think about doing there, it's in there. Favorite move. That's my go-to move. Remember, like now, can we switch just real quick? You ever watch real wrestling? Wrestling? You know, them guys had the best move, right? The elbow or the splash. You know, you get up on the ropes. Oh, I'm going to tell on myself. Jimmy Fly Snooker, okay? That joker would climb up on the top rope and jump 40 feet in the air and land on the guy. It's over, right? You good now? The Hulkster had the little atomic leg drop. Oh, come on, never mind. Ain't no Hulkamaniacs in here, I guess not. We'd have to go back for some of you and get like Dusty Rhodes.
Junkyard Dog.
All right, so we're good. We've totally went way off the path. But they had a finishing. And you knew if they did that, the fight was over. Well, our finishing move is when we fall on our face before God and cry out and say, Jesus, I am getting whooped here. Could you come in and get him off of me? You know what Jesus will do every time? He'll come in and get him. Somebody said, what do I do at night when I feel this way? What do I do when I don't know what to do? Start talking to God. I mean, really talking to him. Don't talk to him like you talk to everybody else. Oh, things are good. Really lay into him. Tell him exactly how you feel. God already knows how you feel anyway. And let him wrestle for you. Let him fight for you. I mean, let's all stand. As they come get a song of invitation.